And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest that in any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 13, And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then verse 20, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And I want to talk this morning from this subject, out of the darkness. Out of the darkness. Now, let me pause here for our radio audience because I want all of our listeners out in radio land, Shreveport, Natchez, Lake Charles, Alexandria, just about the whole state. I want to let y'all know that we are geared up and ready here at Pleasant Hill for our annual Family Day weekend, and we want to invite all of you to come and be a part of this great celebration. We have the great international artist Dietrich Haddon that will be joining us on May 20th at 7 o'clock p.m., and you can buy tickets online at eventbrite.com, or you can get them here at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, out of the darkness. Out of the darkness. I want to just take a little time, amen, because one thing we discover as we study this text is that you can learn a whole lot about yourself by being exposed to the darkness. Amen. Amen. After 40 days in the desert, Jesus emerged to take his place in the synagogue. After 40 days of dealing with himself in the darkness of the desert, he emerged ready to assume the mantle of his ministry. 40 days, y'all, is a long time to do anything. But it is especially long when you have to fight with yourself and the devil for 40 days. There's something to be said about the time we spend in the darkness. There's something to be said about the time we spend in private wrestling with the things that no one else knows about. Y'all, I've often found that the price we pay for public clarity is private misery. Because very often God will subject us to miserable conditions behind closed doors so that the wrestling, the strain, and the pressure in private will press out of our mouths a clarity that we could not have any other way. I believe that's how Jesus could emerge after 40 days and make one of the clearest statements about a life that the world has ever heard. Jesus stood up and he knew exactly what he was supposed to do. He knew exactly what he was supposed to say. He wasn't in the synagogue trying to figure out what his mission or his passion was. He already knew. He already knew what he was born to do. And my brothers and sisters, I would that we all had this kind of clarity. I would that we all knew what our motto, what our mantra in life was all about. But I would wager this morning that there are many of us who don't know what we were born to do. As a matter of fact, a lot of folk live from day to day, live from one day to the next, but nothing has claimed you, nothing has called you, nothing has raised you, and nothing has engaged you. Nothing rules you. Nothing makes you get up in the midnight hour. We live from one day to the next, eating and drinking and sleeping. We go from one day to the next, but we don't have a sense of clarity and purpose. 40 days, and Jesus emerged out of the desert clear about what he was to do. Y'all, I believe that one of the things God continually does with us is that he continually tries us and he continually tests us behind closed doors. He continually sifts us in the darkness. God will continually press us and compress us because God does not want us to come out in public until we have dealt with some things in private. Do I have a witness today? See, you don't want to be in your hour of destiny, your hour of significant standing, only to have something that you didn't deal with in the desert to come back and haunt you. Do I have a witness today? The major problem we seem to have is that we want to be in public without wrestling with demons in the private. Dr. C.A.W. Clark famously said, amen, that before you go out into the public places for God, you've got to first of all go into the private places with God. Is there anybody here who understands that my worship is better when I deal with some stuff in the private? That, amen, that before I get out here praising and worshiping, I need to find a way to get in my secret closet. Just me and God. Just me and God. Come on, where are my folks? See, that's the problem with some of your worship, is because you don't ever have private time with God. Come on, where are my folk who on your way to church? You already had church, because you can say, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I came to tell somebody that unless you deal with your insecurities, unless you deal with your fears, unless you deal with your mistakes in private, nothing you say or do in public is going to affect anybody, because the power comes from what happens in the private. Can I take it one more step? It'll give you closure. 40 days in the desert gave Jesus closure. He knew what he was made of. Jesus knew what he had inside of him. He knew what would tempt him. He knew what he could overcome. Tell your neighbor, it'll give you closure. Closure, closure. See, before you can step out, you've got to close some doors. That's what's wrong with some of us. There's some doors we haven't shut. Do I have a witness today? We can't walk around with certain doors open. We're accepting this phone call and this email and this person. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. There are some people you're going to have to close the door on and say goodbye. I would put up with that 5 years ago. Amen. I could handle that 2 days ago. But today, I've got to close this door because I need to assume the mantle of my destiny. I'm better than this. I'm bigger than this. I've got more inside of me than this. I'm tired of just living from one day to the next. I wish I could get some folk who are sick and tired of being sick. I'm tired of just paying bills. I'm tired of just waking up, going to work. I have a destiny. I've got a future. I've got an anointing. And to get there, I've got to close some doors. Where are my folk who want everything God has for you? You want to walk into every door that the Lord has opened for you, and you've made up in your mind that if you've got to say bye-bye, see you later to some folk who are holding you back,
pulling you down, you don't mind telling them goodbye. Tell your neighbor, close it, close it, close it. The Bible says Jesus went to the synagogue and he took the scriptures and turned to the place in the scroll of Isaiah to read the words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Y'all, Jesus looked in the book of Isaiah, and can I tell you what he did? He found himself. Ooh, thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. He looked in Isaiah's mouth and found himself. He found the words that would give us the beginnings of an explanation of the richness of his ministry and the nature and destiny of his days among us. Now, while it's true that we barely understand the ABCs of grace, we barely understand the syntax of salvation, Jesus looked in the scriptures and he found the words that would bring clarity and purpose to who he was. He found himself in the book. Tell your neighbor, you need to get in the book. That's why a lot of our young folk are walking around confused and crazy. They don't know who they are. They don't know what their purpose is. They have no idea what destiny is all about, because the only way you can discover your purpose and your destiny, you've got to consult the one that made you. You've got to get the owner's manual. Is there anybody here who knows that this book is the owner's manual? If I want to know what God wants me to do, if I want to know how God wants me to walk, if I want to know how God wants me to talk, I've got to get in the Word. So Jesus looked in the book and he found himself. He found himself. If the truth be told this morning, we are all looking for ourselves. Can we just be real for a little while? If the truth would be told, no matter how old you is, no matter how old you are, amen, amen, no matter how much stuff you've amassed in the world, we're all looking for ourselves. Y'all, I'm 51. I don't want to be 80 and still looking for myself. But really, we are all looking for ourselves. We're all hoping to stare in the mirror one day and finally see who we really are. Not what we've become, not what has happened to us, not what they did or what they said or what we've allowed ourselves to degenerate into. No, we are looking for us. We are all looking for ourselves to fall in love with what we see in a way that is beyond the physical, beyond attraction, beyond the grasp of lust. But to see ourselves, to know ourselves, and to wrap ourselves around ourselves, to stand up in ourselves and square our shoulders and say, "This is who I am." Oh, there are three or four folk in here. You got it. You got it. Amen. You are beyond listening to what folks say you are. You're beyond accepting what folks say you can do. Come on. I know I got at least three or four people. You've lived long enough, you've walked with God long enough, amen, that you can walk in a room with your shoulders intact and your head high and say, "This is who I am." Amen. You don't have to like me. You don't have to speak to me, because I have looked in the window of the Word, and baby, I know who I am. I'm not confused about who I.T.I. is. Come on. Where are my folk who are not ashamed to say, "I'm not everything I ought to be. I'm not everything I want to be, but you're going to have to deal with me as I am until God makes a change in my life." Gotta be more than this. Gotta be. I mean, come on, how many of you have ever said that to yourself? I like what I have. I love my family, but there's got to be more than this. And y'all, the tragedy of America is that America has taught us how to find ourselves in all the wrong places. America, it teaches us to find ourselves in the eye of other people. America has taught us how to find ourselves in the glances and the smiles and the gestures and the rejections of other people. And so we look into the eyes of people who have never seen themselves to really find out who they are. And we're staring at them, looking at them to get them to tell us who we are. They don't know who they are. And yet there we are in front of a television watching folk, amen, prognosticating and talking about all that you are, and this is why you act that way, and this is why you do that, because your mama did this, because your daddy didn't do that, amen. But I thank God for the word of God that gives me clarity. I thank God for the word of God that allows me to stand in this pulpit flat-footed, not worrying about what anybody says or what anybody thinks. I know who I am. But more importantly, I know whose I am. Where are the believers in the house who can say, I thank you, God. I belong to you. Woo. Some of y'all looking for yourself in the applause, in the adulation of the crowd. Because if they applaud for us, that's who we are. We must be great if they applaud for us. You must love me. You applaud. Accept me, want me, validate me, and let me find myself in the echoes of your applause, in that space between your hands. Let me exist in that space between your hands. Let me stand right there. Let me eat right there. Let me drink right there. Let me pray right there. And that's what we've done. We've tried to exist in the narrow space. But y'all, you're bigger than that space. I said you're bigger than that space. We also try to find ourselves in the acquisition of things and titles. Y'all ain't saying nothing. That's why amongst the circle of preachers, you know, everybody's a doctor and doctor this and bishop that, and amen, we all, these titles, amen, ain't nobody got no real doctorate degree. Just made ourselves. I told y'all before, but at the national convention one year, a lady who didn't, she wasn't with the convention, she was just there, and a lady passed out in the lobby, and this lady ran in the ballroom and said, somebody's sick, is there a doctor in here? And our president stood up and said, ma'am, we're all doctors. We're all doctors. But we try to find ourselves in titles. We try to find ourselves in the acquisition of things. The more things I have, that's who I am. I am my car. I am my job. I am my house. I am my position. I am my degree. That's who I am. That's who I am. Trouble is, you'll never be able to find yourself in the car. You will never be able to find yourself in the clothes. You'll never be able to find yourself in the house. Can I tell you why? That stuff is going to pass away. Do I have a witness this morning? But Jesus gives us a place to find ourselves. You see, when most of us look at this text, we don't see ourselves, we just see Jesus. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring healing to those who are brokenhearted. Amen. We look at this text and all we see is Jesus. Amen. We look at this text and we see Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We see Malcolm X. We see Sojourner Truth. We see Fannie Lou Hamer. We see Harriet Tubman. And some of you see Pastor Garner. We look at this text and we see all the great heroes and heroines. We don't look at this text and see ourselves. We see everybody that we supposedly look up to. But when Jesus looked at the text, he saw himself. I hope before we leave here this morning, some of you can see yourselves in this text. Amen, amen. Because if the truth would be told, you ought to have enough word in you that when I sit down, you could get up and tell a story. Come on, come on. Where are my witnesses? Where are my witnesses? Amen. And my brothers and sisters, that is the paradigm, because you're not supposed to look at this and see somebody else. You're not supposed to look at this and admire somebody else. You're supposed to look at this and see yourself. You're supposed to look at it and say, he's talking about me. He's talking about me. Are you here this morning? The question of the hour is, does this text sound like you? See, some of y'all came to judge my preaching. Some of you came to judge how well I tell the story. But let the tables turn. Can you tell the story? Can you walk into a room when pastor is nowhere to be found? Can you walk into a hospital room and somebody is at the door of death and they've never given their life to Jesus? Could you walk in the room and guarantee that if they will believe what the word of God says, that when they leave here, they'll end up in eternity with God? Do I have a witness today? He's talking about me. He's talking about me because I believe this morning that this text expresses what it means to live a committed life. Do you understand that you were put here to do more than just work from 9 to 5 so you can pay some bills? Tell your neighbor, you were put here to do more. I'm not trying to denigrate parenthood, but you were put here for more than just to raise some children. Now, raising children, as I understand, is one of the best things you can do, but you have more in you than just that. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You were put here to do more. You have more inside of you. But underneath is a deeper question that we must deal with, and that question is my life supposed to be as revolutionary and transformative as the life of Jesus? I come to challenge you this morning. Am I supposed to be as much of an agent for change in my neighborhood, in my community, in my world as Jesus was in his? Because we need people who want to accept the world the way it is. We need people who will say that it's unacceptable, that the average age of a homeless person is 11 years old. We need people who will stand up and say it's unacceptable that 75% of homeless folk are women and children. Oh, see, y'all living comfortable. You ain't worried about nobody else. But I have come by to challenge you today to see yourself in the text. This is the precept and position of a world that is not offended by hunger, not offended by pain, not offended by murder. We see it and nothing touches us because we need people who will see themselves in the word and move beyond what society says they should do, beyond what society says they should act, and become revolutionaries for the kingdom of God. Look at what Jesus proposed, and I'm almost finished. He said, preach the good news. Preach the good news. What does that mean? Preach the good news. I'm glad you asked. It means encourage somebody. See, y'all thought I was saying you need to go to seminary, you need to get a theology degree, and you need to learn all the books of the Bible, you need to learn all of the prophets, the major prophets and the minor prophets and all that. No, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that if you want to live a life that is positive and purposeful, all you really need to learn how to do is encourage somebody. Can I get a witness today? And I'm not just talking about in the church, because we're good at encouraging one another up in here. But find some wayward child out there on the streets, amen, and declare to that child, baby, God ain't finished with you yet. Come on, come on. Find some grieving mother and let her know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. When you encourage somebody, you loose them on the inside. When you encourage somebody, you make them pregnant with possibility. When you encourage somebody, you give them strength. You give them what we call in theology alien righteousness. Because you impose on them what is not inside of them at the moment of the imposition. But I guarantee you this morning, if you just open your mouth and encourage somebody, you'll be surprised at how the atmosphere will change. I was in the mall yesterday, and I was sitting there, and the Lord said, I had a $20 bill in my pocket. The Lord said, you need to give that away. Amen. And I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I had gotten a to-go plate from Piccadilly, and I was sitting in the food court. Why y'all looking at me like that? I was sitting in the food court eating my Piccadilly, and I put it in that to-go bag after I finished it, and a young man was walking by. I said, excuse me, throw that away for me. He said, yes, sir, yes, sir. He grabbed it and threw it away, and I gave him that $20 bill. He didn't look at it. He just put it in his pocket. He just thought it was a dollar. Amen. And about a few minutes later, I saw him way across the food court waving with that $20 bill. He finally looked at it. He was just rejoicing. Amen. Come on, who knows it don't take a whole lot to encourage somebody. Finally, Jesus said that we speak truth to power. We stand up and say to the mayor, to the governor, to the president, that the most basic right of a free people.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
We thank God for all that he's done. We will sing hallelujah unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. And we know that he is worthy to be praised. Amen. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and we pray, God, that you would speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people, a word of God that will remind them that you are God, and that you are God all by yourself. We thank you for the word that we shall receive in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Glory and honor be to God. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. To our ministers and to our officers and members, God bless you. Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke, chapter 4. And I'm going to let you remain seated because I want to read all 20 verses, the first 20 verses of the fourth chapter of Luke. Amen. Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest that in any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. Verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet.